having the opportunity to work as a coach helping people over the last decade has been extremely insightful. Whether it's health or relationships or divorce, doesn't matter. People will have the same reaction to different problems. Inevitably, crisis brings about clarity, probably better than any single factor in your life. All the chinks in your armor suddenly become apparent to you in a flash of horror when you realize that everything that you believe to be true has disintegrated and is falling apart around you. And suddenly, your very existence on this planet is threatened because you made some mistakes along the way. And unfortunately, these mistakes, taken individually, don't seem to be all that significant. But when taken as a whole, they can be fatal. So today, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about how both the rewards and the penalties in life, whether you're talking about your health, your relationships, your job, whatever it may be, well, all of that is deferred. And when it comes due, good or bad, sometimes the price can be very, very high. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. I think that when your own life blows up, and then you come across other people's lives who have blown up, you get an insight into what may have caused it. And it, of course, then helps you reflect on your own experience. The first time it happened to me was about 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. This was the most dramatic case, I should say. This guy shows up in my gym and he weighs over 300 pounds. He's been told, he's 47 years old, he's about 5'9". He has what I would call advanced metabolic syndrome. He is, of course, obese. He has diabetes. He's already had bypass surgery. His cholesterol is through the roof. He has fatty liver disease, and he has high blood pressure. He is checking all the boxes here. His doctor, he had just seen him recently within the last week, had told him at age 47 that he did not think he would see age 60. The chances of him getting to be age 60 were almost zero. And certainly there was no chance he was going to live to be 65. So he had absolutely fewer than 20 years left in his life at that moment, and probably more like 10, because he was a disaster. His eating habits were a disaster. His exercise was a disaster. His life was stressful. He had more problems than you can imagine. I mean, it wasn't just the physical part of it. Psychologically, emotionally, the guy was completely wrecked. And what I've noticed with people who come to me with health issues that are especially overweight, eating disorders, that kind of thing, more often than not, and I'm not talking about diagnosed eating disorders, I'm talking about disordered eating. I guess that's probably a better way of putting it. More often than not, they have serious stress and unresolved issues in their life that they need to deal with. And this guy was no different. He had put off the idea that he needed to take care of himself for a very, very long time. About 10 years before I met him, he had gone through a really terrible divorce, and it destroyed him. It destroyed his self-esteem, it destroyed everything about him. And he was a little chubby back then, but now he was obese. Like, he probably added a solid 100 pounds since that divorce. And this was an arranged marriage, and now he was in another arranged marriage. And things were just not going well at all. After 4 years, actually after 3 years, he had lost 125 pounds. So he got down, now he's down to like 165, but he got down to like 170, 175 after about 2.5 to 3 years of lifting and working out and eating right. And his life has changed dramatically. It's made a huge, huge difference. He got very, very lucky. All of his markers came back in line. Last night, or the night before, I talked to a guy who is going through a complete life meltdown. His physical health is terrible. He has stage 4 cancer. He's getting treatment for that. And his wife just packed her children up and left. Packed his children up and left. So he's alone in the house. And she's issuing him ultimatums about getting out, or she's going to take some kind of action against him. His life is completely at the precipice of complete disaster. It's going to require an enormous amount of energy just to preserve the basic necessities that he needs to survive. I mean, literally survive under these circumstances. Plus, the stress of this event cannot be good for him, you know, at where he is in his life at this moment. Stage 4 cancer, the last thing you need is to layer the stress of a divorce on top of it. And of course, his kids are relatively young. I think the oldest is like 16 years old, and he has 3 of them. So he has 2 other children that are still in grade school. So yeah, things are really, really bad for him. And all I could think to myself, because it reminded me of my own divorce and so many other conversations that I've had with guys over the years, about how important it is to maintain the relationship as it occurs, and how easy it is to ignore the signs when they're popping up and not take the appropriate action, because it just takes too much work. It's just too much effort. It's going to require that you learn something new, that you get out of your comfort zone, that you change. It's going to require that you change. That's what it really boils down to. And we as human beings, we resist that as much as we can. The unfortunate thing is life is a classroom, and change is required. You cannot leave this world as the same guy that you entered this world. You are going to have to learn and grow and become a better human being as you progress through life. You can try to defer your classes as much as you want, but like compound interest accrues over time, the same thing happens with these lessons. They compound over time. And if you ignore them long enough, they eventually grow into something much bigger, much more threatening, much more difficult to overcome. And too oftentimes, when I'm talking to guys about their divorces, their marriages, their relationships, whatever, that's what I'm seeing, is these are relationships that have on some level been ignored. They have not been given the attention that they needed at the time when they needed it. Now, I'm not saying these guys completely ignored their relationships. I'm not saying that they were completely negligent in their marriages. Not at all. It's just that they didn't take the time to make sure that it was right. And they didn't take the time to develop themselves as men to establish their role in the relationship. And they didn't take the time to make that deep connection with their wives and maintain it over a long period of time. So at the beginning of a relationship, when that pink mist is thick and you're feeling good about everything, there is a window that's open in this moment. And because we're so caught up in the physical nature of the relationship, and we're caught up in the roles that we're playing and trying to figure each other out, too oftentimes we miss the opportunity. And there's this window of time during those first couple of years, during that honeymoon phase, when you have the opportunity to create a deep, soulful connection with your partner. You have the opportunity to establish something real that transcends the physical, that transcends the roles that you play in each other's lives. It's something that goes to the core of who you are and to the core of who she is. If you don't take advantage of this opportunity at this moment, it's unlikely that this opportunity will ever occur again. If you do take advantage of this opportunity and you establish this core-to-core relationship, this soul-level relationship that goes beyond the roles that you play, and you can see her for who she really is, and she can see you for who you really are, and there is acceptance at a very fundamental level of you as a human being and her as a human being. If you can get to that place where you have that level of acceptance, and then you maintain it, you come back to this place and you nurture it over and over and over again for the rest of your life, you can have a relationship that endures, and you can have a relationship that is satisfying and is happy and is meaningful. However, if you don't make that initial contact, that initial connection, or if you don't maintain it over time, you don't readdress it, you don't come back to it, you don't reestablish that connection repeatedly I mean, frequently, you know, at least on a monthly basis, every month, every year, for the rest of your life, you're not making that kind of a connection and reminding yourselves of why you're together and who you are and why you got together and what was the initial attraction. You're not bringing all those initial emotions from the beginning back into the present moment and allowing yourself to sort of bathe in that lustful experience that you had when you were fresh, when you were new, your relationship was fresh and new, then eventually it gets old, it gets stale, life happens, you know? Things are always happening. There's always gonna be stressors, there's always gonna be things that are gonna pull on you, there's always gonna be difficulties that you're gonna face. Life is always gonna throw difficulties at you. If you have that strong connection as a couple and you can use that relationship as a mirror and you can hold it up to yourself and you can see the man that you are and the man that you want to be and how you can progress through this relationship to become a better human being, you can maintain a healthy relationship and you can find purpose and meaning in it. Not that it should be the purpose of your life, but you can find purpose and meaning in the relationship. It's like eating your veggies. It's like exercising. It's like hitting the gym. It's like going out for a walk. It's about maintaining and growing a healthy relationship requires time, and it requires that you be open to the idea that you are going to have to change as this relationship grows and changes too. I think that what happens to most guys, from what I've observed, is they get distracted by the world. They get focused on things outside of the relationship. They ignore the relationship. They don't listen to her complaints. They write them off as just being the rants of a crazy woman. And to some degree, I'm sure they are. There's no question about it. Women are definitely emotional and they're childlike and all that stuff. There's no question about it. But if you're gonna be in a relationship with one, you're gonna have to deal with that. You're gonna have to come to terms with, you're gonna need to invest in that. Because if you don't, the pain and the destruction that it's gonna cause in your life is gonna be like my friend who went to the doctor at age 47 and told that his life is coming to an end. So you don't want to have that experience, you know? He was lucky because he was able to lose the weight and he was able to get himself back in shape and he was able to respond to it before it became too late, you know? He was able to take action before it became too late. But in relationships, more often than not, that's not the case. Most long-term relationships, including marriages, are over long before we men ever figure it out. By the time we figure out that something's wrong, she's already decided that it's over. And it's really hard, once she gets to that point, to change her mind. I think that my wife came to the conclusion that our marriage was over about 7 years in. We stayed together for a little over 20 years. So for 13 years, I was in a relationship that was dead, and I didn't know it until probably 3 years after she did. And then I tried doing everything I could to win it back, to make it right, to correct things, to get things back on track, to try to recoup what I thought we had. And I could see the potential for the relationship. I could see the opportunity that was there, you know? And when I thought about what it was like not to have that marriage, not to have that woman in my life and not to live out that dream that I had when I met her, it was like having the winning lottery ticket in your hand and then losing it. And then just digging around through all your stuff, seeing if you can find it. And it's just not there anymore. It's gone. It's gone forever. That ticket disappeared. And that's sort of what it feels like. It's like, God, I had the winning lottery ticket. It was there for me. And I lost it because I didn't pay attention to it. I didn't take care of it. I didn't give it what it needed. I didn't make sure that I kept it safe. And that's what happens in marriages that fail more often than not. Now, I'm not just blaming it on men. I mean, it's just our fault. Definitely don't get the wrong idea here. Women certainly have their role to play and they contribute mightily to these problems and these issues. But as men, we are the leaders in these relationships. And if you're not the leader in the relationship, then that's probably your first problem. I thought that maybe I was simping on my wife. And she laughed when I told her that, because I made some videos about how I felt like I was simping. She said, oh my God, you had more boundaries than anybody ever met. You have more, you're the best person on boundaries I've ever known. And I thought, okay, so maybe I was wrong. Maybe I wasn't simping. Maybe it was just all in my head, you know, because I felt like I was trying to do all this work to try to win the relationship back or try to get her back. And apparently I was deluding myself, which is another thing. You know, it's like, okay, so obviously what I thought was effort to try to maintain and retain the relationship was not what I was doing. You know, that was not getting through to her. Like, we were on two different wavelengths at all the way at that point. You know, we weren't even communicating in the same language at that point, you know. And that's another thing that happens is once she shuts down, when she's decided that marriage is over, yeah, everything you say sounds like Martian to her. You know, she's not really listening to you anymore. You're not an important aspect of her life. You're not in her future. She doesn't see you as the solution to her problems. She's not seeing you as the safe place that she needs to land. And she's already starting to look for another alternative. She's trying to figure it out, whether that be another man or some other solution, whether it be moving to another state or trying to make a living for herself. Doesn't matter. She's made a decision in her head that she's got to move forward without you. And once she's made that decision, I'm afraid it's like a death sentence. It's already done. You know, it's just a matter of when does the execution occur, because there's very little, if anything, that you can do to change her mind. You know, there's pardons don't come very quickly in dead marriages. You know, once the decision has been made by either party that this relationship is over, it's very, very, very hard to turn it around. You know, I was thinking about how we men are so good at maintaining stuff. You know, like if you buy a new car, you know it needs to have its mile, you know, its gas, its oil changed every 5,000 miles or so, maybe 6,000 miles. You would not think or even dream of driving that car 20 or 30,000 miles without getting an oil change. You know that you have to do that. You know that if you don't do that, you're going to destroy the engine. And the oil changes are $100 a pop. The engine's gonna be, I don't know, $8,000-$10,000 to replace. So mathematically, we understand the concept of maintenance. Now just take that same concept and apply it to relationships, because it's exactly the same thing. You can make these small deposits. You can make these small little investments in your marriage as you go forward, or you're gonna have a huge price to pay. The engine in that marriage is gonna blow up on you. Unless you change the oil all the time, you're gonna have to give it a lot of attention to make sure this thing doesn't blow up on you. It's like you're, and it's really more than that, because it's more like you're driving like an old Jaguar or something like that, and you gotta tinker with it all the time. And that's kind of what having a woman in your life is like. Not all the time, but for a lot of guys, that's what it's like. You've gotta be really attuned to what's happening. If that engine starts knocking, you know something's wrong, you know? If one of the wheels doesn't feel aligned correctly, you know there's something wrong. If you feel it pulling one way or the other, you know you gotta do something. And relationships are exactly the same way. You wouldn't dream of having a $100,000 or $500,000 car in your garage and not respond to it when it has a problem, you know? But your wife, she has a problem and you don't respond to it, and you let that problem fester long enough, it can turn into a very expensive problem for you. It could be $100,000, $500,000, $1 million that you end up paying because you were unable, you didn't, or you couldn't give it the time and attention that it deserved. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is kind of like a user's manual for relationships is, don't get yourself into one unless you're willing to put in that kind of time and energy. Because if you buy that old Jaguar, if you buy that like 1964 Jaguar, you know, if you don't put the time and attention into keeping that thing going, then you're gonna have a car that you may have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to acquire that is now going to be a pile of junk in your driveway. And you're going to kill yourself, or not kill yourself, you're gonna be angry with yourself for not maintaining it. Well, your marriage is exactly the same way. You're gonna have to put a lot of time and energy into it, or it's gonna cost you a fortune. And you're gonna be just like me, you know, where you think, when I met her, I thought I had a lottery ticket. I thought that I had found exactly what I was looking for. And because I didn't put in the time and the energy and give it the attention it needed, it's like I lost the ticket, you know? The $1 million was gone. It just disappeared like that. And the wreckage that it leaves in its wake is long-lasting, not just for you and for her and for your kids and everything in your life. It becomes very, very difficult and challenging to overcome. The irony here is you're going to learn some of these lessons whether you like it or not. So you can learn the lessons a little bit at a time, like making the oil changes, you know. You can learn them a little at a time, and you'll grow and you become smarter and wiser and you become happier in your life, and things remain relatively stable and it doesn't cost you a fortune to change your life. Or you can defer it. You defer all that knowledge and it comes to you all at once in this giant crisis. And this crisis is going to land on you with such weight and fury that it's going to tear your life apart. And when it's over and you start sifting through the wreckage, you're going to figure it out. You're going to start to understand where you made your mistakes along the way. You're going to start to see what you didn't see before. You're going to start to understand how this could have been avoided. Now, it doesn't affect everyone the same way. So I know some of you guys made the mistake of marrying an insane person, and you know, you can't deal with mental illness. I mean, that's a really tough thing. And I know some of you guys, you know, had some special situations in your lives. But for the vast majority of us who just go through normal divorces, you know, with women who are typical women, you know, they all have their weird behaviors. Not one of us got into that marriage thinking it was going to end like this, you know? And that's sort of the thing that you've got to keep in mind. No one started the journey thinking this is how it was going to turn out. And although it's fun to point your finger at women and say, yeah, they're all crazy, because they are. We all know that. They are all crazy. But, and they do create problems. They absolutely create problems. There's no question about that. But we create solutions. We are the opposite of crazy. We bring the rational, solid foundation to a relationship. We create the leadership. We are the problem solvers. Women create problems. They create chaos. There is a balance in this. Trust me, there is a true balance in this energy. And this goes back thousands of years. People have known this. This is not something I'm just coming up with. This has been around forever. So if you're going to bring a woman into your life, you need to recognize that it's going to come with a certain degree of chaos and a certain degree of instability and craziness, and you're going to have to be that solid foundation and that leader in that relationship in order to keep it solid, in order to make it work. And you're going to have to grow and learn along the way. You're going to have to make investments in that relationship all the time. You're going to have to make sure that you're not ignoring that core to core, that soul to soul, that pure connection, that human to human connection that you develop early in the relationship, when everything is fresh and delicious and so much fun, when you're just loving each other so much you can't keep your hands off each other. That's the time, that's when the window is open to create those deep connections. And if you don't take advantage of it then, you're not going to be able to do it 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, or it becomes an awful lot harder. All right, you guys, this has been your owner's manual for a relationship. I hope it's helpful. If you know someone who might use it, please share it with them. If you have any ideas on this, if you think I'm crazy for even talking about it, please share that in the comments section. Anyway, till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.